Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Reformation Day on this Tuesday, October 31st, 2023. And I can't think of a better day to spend the time with my very dear friend, old friend, in fact, one of my oldest Christian friends. I don't mean by his age when I say that. I'm speaking of the length of time that I've known this dear brother. He was one of my first Christian friends after becoming a born-again believer myself. And I first met him when he was a guest speaker at the invitation of my pastor at the time, Mike Gadosh, of what was then Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island, which later merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick to become Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. And I was so impressed and blessed and edified that evening. I remember hearing Pastor Bill preach that I made sure that I greeted him afterwards, and we that really began a friendship which has lasted decades. That would have been the late 1980s when that happened. And Pastor Bill Shishko, my guest today, is pastor of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian church congregation in Commack, Long Island, New York. And today we're going to be addressing Christianity and liberalism, celebrating the 100th anniversary of this classic work by J. Gresham Machen. And this is part one of a two-part discussion, and you might as well mark your calendars down for Wednesday, November 29th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for part two of my discussion with Pastor Bill. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bill Shishko.
Oh, my dear brother, Chris Arnzen, how wonderful. You introduced me by talking about how old I am. What a way to start.
By the way, there's one thing for sure. The next time that God gives me the good providence to see you face to face again, we have to make sure that when we get our photograph taken together, there is not a glaring light behind us, because looking through my photo gallery on my phone, every photo of us together had to be altered somewhat, because it was almost a black silhouette of both of us since there was light glowing behind us. Yeah. We were always standing by a window or a bright lamp of some kind, but we'll have to make sure we do that. Well, let's start with having you describe for our listeners The Haven, which is, as I said in the introduction, a congregation within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church.
Well, Chris, thanks. I'm so honored to be your guest, especially on Reformation Day here in 2023. But also, I'm the topic, I'm so excited about the topic as an Orthodox Presbyterian minister. Dr. Machen was the man that the Lord used for the founding of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in 1936. And while as appreciative as I am of Westminster Seminary Press, coming out with a 100th anniversary edition of Christianity and Liberalism, I must confess it rubs me the wrong way that with all of the accolades that they have in the book for Dr. Machen's book, not one of those accolades is from an OPC minister, which is a shame because
it's amazing.
Is the denomination that still kind of upholds as a denomination what Dr. Machen stood for. But I'm honored, Chris, after more years, actually, was it 40? I was stunned, 44 years in the ordained ministry in this month. But to be pastoring a mission church in Suffolk County, 16 Oak Lawn Drive in Commack, The Haven OPC, we'd love to have people visit with us when we have worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. But I'm really more concerned to speak today about Christianity and liberalism.
Now, just for a sake of getting our history correct here, how long were you the pastor at the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, where you were pastoring when I first met you and where I had many occasion to visit you for different events in that fine congregation?
Well, after I had I'd pastored a church in South Carolina, it was also a mission church. These seemed to be the bookends of my ministerial life as mission church work. But I was called to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Nassau County on Long Island in 1981. And served there until 2016, when I had been, my call was changed. I became what was called a regional home missionary and worked with a number of different churches in the metropolitan New York area, Southern Connecticut, and Long Island. And then the committees that I was working with urged me in 2018 to start a mission work out in Suffolk County. That began as a Bible study in 2019. We ended up meeting at our facility in Bohemia for some time. And then the Lord wonderfully provided a facility for us, the former Cleft of the Rock Bible Church.
Yes.
16 Oak Lawn Drive. You were familiar with that. We moved in September 11th was our inaugural service in 2022. And so we've been in that location for a little more than a year. Yeah, it's been quite a ride here on Long Island. I tell people not a lot of people are wanting to start mission churches on Long Island because it's so expensive and so hardened. And it is a challenge, I will admit, but it's such a blessing to have that congregation and to see how the Lord is forming a body that really wants to be a faithful church in the midst of, to say the least, a very unfaithful generation.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more information about The Haven in Commack, Long Island, the church where my dear brother and guest today is pastor, the website is thehavenli, standing for Long Island, .com. Thehavenli.com. And for any of my listeners on Long Island who are not currently already aware of this, there are three Orthodox Presbyterian Church congregations on Long Island. The church in Franklin Square still exists, as well as the church in Bohemia and the church in Commack, where my guest serves as pastor. And we will, God willing, repeat that information later on in the program. Well, why don't you give our listeners some background to this classic work,
yeah,
timeless work, Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen. And the thing that just struck me before we went on the air is I wonder what J. Gresham Machen would call the so-called progressive left-leaning church today, because even though the liberalism of his day was heretical and damning, today it is nightmarishly satanic. So wow. I don't know how he would categorize it.
Well, you've given an excellent introduction to the November 29th program, because I really just want to introduce things at what people's appetite. But yeah, it's reading Dr. Machen's Christianity and Liberalism and understanding some of what I'm going to be covering in this program. You will see a lot of the seeds, the same seeds of liberalism coming in different ways in the church today, but I rather would to deal with that at the November 29th program. Chris, it's okay. Let me just take a moment to talk about the importance of biographies. We're talking about a man. We're talking about a man that many of your hearers have never heard of. What his biography clearly is kind of fleshes out in many ways what he's written fleshes out what his life stood for. But it brings us to the whole issue of biographies. And I want to urge your listeners to be readers of good Christian biographies. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, keep remembering your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So he's not talking about civil leaders. He's talking about pastors or ministers or elders. And it's interesting, those who spoke to you the word of God, it's past tense. Apparently they are no longer on scene. They had gone to glory, but they were to be remembered. And then it says, examine carefully the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's one of the great reasons for reading biographies of godly men and women. What is the outcome of their life? And you learn lessons for following the Lord in our day. And there's two additional reasons, not only the biblical warrant for this, but we need a sense of perspective in our culture. It's easy to think that in our rapidly changing culture, with all forms of iniquity that are growing up, that we're alone historically, and we are not. Good biographies will give you a perspective on your culture that you're not alone, especially, for example, St. Augustine, who was probably the most preeminent of the post-apostolic church fathers. Augustine wrote The City of God, his classic work, when Rome was decaying, as our culture is decaying. And learning how this godly man sought to understand his culture and relate to it, boy, that helps us so much. The other is, and I'm fascinated with this, the now abundance of popular biographies of Christian leaders. You advertise Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, for which I'm very appreciative. Your listeners can contact Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service and say, can you recommend some biographies for me? And they can help them. Just some examples. I mentioned Augustine, who was a 5th century church father. His confessions are his own autobiography, so to speak. There's a lot of popular biographies of him that are helpful. If you move toward the Reformation time, John Huss and William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, especially Tyndale and Wycliffe, their passion for getting the word of God out to people, that will give you passion as you read of that. Reformation Day, Martin Luther. I still think the unrivaled biography of Luther by Roland Bainton, Here I Stand, or biographies of John Calvin or John Knox in the political arena. John Knox was a Scottish reformer, has a lot to say about what we're dealing with in our culture. And then if you go to the 18th century, the 1700s, which was the flowering of evangelical leaders, John Wesley, George Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, and so many others. These books will give you a passion for evangelism. And if you read, say, J.C. Ryle's great evangelical leaders of the 18th century, reading his first chapter about the world in which these men ministered to, it's so much like our own world. And then more modern figures. Oh, and missions. I don't want to miss missions, because we need more of a missions passion. Biographies of William Carey, Hudson Taylor, John G. Payton, who was a missionary to the New Hebrides, which is our islands in the Pacific. That book by John G. Payton fired an evangelistic zeal in people, and it still does. And then more modern figures, I still put Spurgeon, and that maybe I'm knowing how old I am. I don't know. Spurgeon lived in the 19th century, but in so many ways, he was a modern figure as a pastor and dealing with the Industrial Revolution and so on. Biographies of Martin Lloyd-Jones and John R. Stott. Please read biographies. As far as Dr. Machen goes, there's so many helpful things. It's Gresham, incidentally. You don't pronounce the H. J. Gresham Machen's A Guided Tour of His Life, The Guided Tour of His Life and Thought by Stephen J. Nichols, who's associated with Ligonier, that's been so helpful to your broadcast. That volume by Stephen Nichols is a good introductory one, a little more in depth. Defending the Faith, J. Gresham Machen and the Crisis of Conservative Protestantism in America by Daryl Hart, who is an Orthodox Presbyterian ruling elder who should have had some say in the republication. Daryl is really sort of the authority, the living authority on Dr. Machen, the old standby that you can get from the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, a biographical memoir by Ned Stonehouse. And then I highly recommend John Piper, despite some of his digs at Presbyterians that he does in a gracious way. John Piper's lecture on Dr. Machen, there's an hour and a half version, and then you can get it in parts. Yeah, John Piper's lecture on Machen captures in so many ways not only the information about Dr. Machen, but typical of John Piper, the passion that Dr. Machen had for truth. It will give you some of Dr. Machen's fire if you listen to John Piper's presentation. So I had to put that in there, Chris.
I'm assuming that's on YouTube, or
it is. Those are YouTube videos. You can just do John Piper, J. Gresham Machen, or Piper Machen, or whatever, and you'll get them. They're YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the book that we are celebrating. What were the circumstances that led Dr. Machen to write this book? I know that he was expelled from the liberal Presbyterian denomination where he once served, and a lot of it had to do with the denomination's support of liberal missionaries.
Right.
So tell us exactly the circumstances surrounding this.
Yeah, great question. And that is so important, Chris. If people read Christianity and Liberalism, as I want you to do, understanding the background in which Dr. Machen lived and which he wrote, you'll appreciate the book much more. J. Gresham Machen was really the Martin Luther of the 20th century, and Martin Luther was bold. He put out there that the Roman system had corrupted the gospel and was very uncompromising in that. Dr. Machen was the same way with respect to theological liberalism. We'll get to that in a little bit. And in many senses, with the late 20th century and early 21st century, Al Mohler in the Southern Baptist Convention has been very much like this, where he, in an uncompromising way, stood for what, frankly, the Southern Baptist Convention historically has stood for. So Dr. Machen's right in that train. And we need men like that in every generation. Just by way of background, if you go in the 19th century, in the 1800s, it was a time of real theological ferment, especially in Europe and particularly in Germany, which was really the main area for people studying philosophy and theology and so on. And there were basically three things going on in Europe in the 19th century that would be the background against which Dr. Machen was writing. One was what was really kind of just a plain skepticism about what the Word of God is and what it taught. It was really an application of the so-called Enlightenment and the scientific method to scripture. We'll get to that a little bit later in the introduction of Dr. Machen's book. Basically, what that meant, applying the scientific method to the scriptures, is what my net don't catch ain't fish. If you can't prove it scientifically, it can't be real. Virgins don't give birth to children. People don't walk on water. There's no way a death on a cross is some way going to bring about forgiveness of sins. Bodies don't rise from the dead. This is not scientific, and that part of theological skepticism began to be applied to the Christian faith. The Word of God was regarded as pre-scientific, therefore inaccurate at many points, and there was a doing away with the miraculous. Now, what Dr. Machen will say rightly, you do away with the miraculous, you do away with Christianity. But there were people that really wanted to do away with the miraculous and still keep Christianity. But that's one thing. The second is technically what's called Romanticism in the 19th century, which is applied to religion, put feelings as being the predominant concern, not doctrine, but not even religious emotion, but the way the Word of God affected you internally. Probably the most influential of the theologians in Germany and the father of modern liberal theology was Friedrich Schleiermacher. And he put an emphasis on piety, but it was piety based on your feelings, not doctrine. And he was a very persuasive man, actually influencing a man that Dr. Machen would study under for a year. That religion of feelings on the second program, we'll see how in many ways, this is what is ravaging evangelicalism. The third change that really grew out of the skepticism, the scientism, and romanticism was moralism in religion. Those theologians would emphasize the kingdom of God. They'd emphasize the ethics of Jesus. But it was to sort of make this world better. Jesus was the exemplary man whose teachings would help make this world better. And in some way, that was the kingdom of God. It did away with, if I could put it this way, the otherworldliness of the New Testament. It took away the end times things and put them in the present under the name of the kingdom of God. And it really was plain moralism. It was a way of kind of doing moral things apart from forgiveness in Christ. Well, that was Europe. But then in the United States of America, you had from the latter part of the 19th century, and especially the very early part of the 20th century, the growth of what was called dispensationalism. And this was popularized by the Scofield Bible, which interestingly had its genesis in Bible conference messages that C.I. Scofield gave in Long Island. But that's for another.
Really?
Yeah, interestingly.
Wow.
But dispensationalism sought to take the Bible literally, and it put its focus on a seven-year tribulation period that was to come in the future. The book of Revelation was regarded from chapter four on as being pictures of a future, a seven-year tribulation, a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. And it supposedly emphasized the Bible being treated literally. And it was very, very suspicious of really almost any kind of seriously intellectual treatment of the Christian faith. But anyway, that will come in as well with Dr. Machen, and the fact that on the one hand, he was the strongest opponent of doctrinal liberalism, moving away from really was what was the historic Christian faith, and yet he wasn't comfortable with the so-called fundamentalism of dispensationalism. He would regard himself as a fundamentalist, and that he held to the fundamentals of the faith, which we'll get to later. On the other hand, he was very clearly Reformed. He held to the body of teaching represented in the Westminster Confession of Faith and larger and shorter catechisms. And so that's what makes it, he's an interesting figure. He's not a liberal, and yet he's not a fundamentalist in that very popular sense of the word.
Now, was that term fundamentalist, did it have the negative baggage as we would view that term today? Did Machen have any misgivings about identifying himself as a fundamentalist?
Yeah, those are great questions, Chris. I could think of a whole program for it, although Daryl Hart would be better dealing with it than I would be. Originally, the concept of the fundamentals, that came out in, I think, a five-volume series called The Fundamentals early in the 20th century that sought to defend the inspiration of the scriptures, the inerrancy of the scriptures, the blood atonement, the miracles of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And those volumes, which really were very well done, were written by Baptists, by Presbyterians. I think there were some Episcopalians in there and so on. And that was where the term came in, the fundamentals of the faith. But what you're talking about and what and Dr. Machen believed those fundamentals. He was the defender of those fundamentals. But there was also that dispensational fundamentalism, which ended up, as a result of the battles with liberalism, kind of segregating itself on its own and becoming, in many ways, a subculture. And Dr. Machen would have been utterly uncomfortable with that. But again, Daryl Hart and his, I think his book, what was it, That Old Time Religion, deals with that and would be a better person to speak on that than I would be.
Yeah, it's an interesting phrase, that old time religion, because many of our fundamentalist friends, what they call old time religion and that good old gospel and so on, very often they're referring to things that only came to existence in the 19th century.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I mean, dispensationalism itself was an invention of in the middle part of the 19th century. Yeah, it's not historic Christianity.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now, and if you do have a question for Pastor Bill Shishko, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are uncomfortable with something that is being taught at the church where you are a member. We would not want you to identify yourself, because that would de facto identify your church. So that's just one reason why you might want to remain anonymous. But if you're just asking a general question, whether it's about the fundamentalist modernist controversy of the earlier part of the 20th century, or about specifically J. Gresham Machen's book, or about J. Gresham Machen in general, or if you have a theological question or pastoral question for Pastor Bill. If it's just general in nature, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Bill Shishko after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the larger catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And once again, I want to thank my friend Jerry Johnson, who many of you have heard interviewed on this program. Jerry is a renowned apologist and Christian documentarian, and he just recently purchased his wife's birthday present from RoyalDiadem.com, which was a gorgeous diamond ring that she was showing off on Facebook. And because of the fact that Jerry mentioned to RoyalDiadem.com that he had heard about RoyalDiadem.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we just received a check from RoyalDiadem.com for 100% of the profits from that sale. And we will benefit from your purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com as well, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and as long as you do it before they discontinue this amazing, mind-blowing offer that they are currently presenting to us. All you have to do is go to RoyalDiadem.com and either purchase something that they already have in stock in the realm of jewelry, or you can have something custom designed, like turning your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, denomination logo, or anything else that you can conjure up in your imagination and creativity. And they will turn what's in your brain into a physical piece of jewelry. And as I said, we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will receive 100% of the profits as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for someone you love or perhaps even yourself. And make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian church congregation in Commack, Long Island, New York. And we are discussing part one of a two-part discussion celebrating the 100th anniversary of J. Gresham Machen's classic work, Christianity and Liberalism. And once again, part two, God willing, will be held on Wednesday, November 29th. And once again, if you have a question for Pastor Bill, please submit your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And Pastor Bill, before I go to any listener questions, I'd like you to continue with putting a magnifying glass over the introduction to this classic work.
Okay. Just a little on the background of Dr. Of it. Actually, no, it was not a doctor, interestingly.
That's okay.
It was called Das. It was his nickname. But J. Gresham Machen was born July 28th, 1881 in Baltimore. Very wealthy, prestigious, very well-to-do, very Southern aristocratic family. His father, interestingly, was an Episcopalian and a very well-known lawyer in Baltimore. His mother, Mary, who had the religious influence on him, was a staunch Presbyterian and taught him the Westminster Shorter Catechism when he was young, and they attended the very prestigious Franklin Street Presbyterian Church. He had an outstanding classical education at Johns Hopkins University. He was a brilliant scholar and was elected to Phi Beta Kappa once he was done with his undergraduate schooling there. 1902, he goes to Princeton Seminary and studies theology at the same time he's working on his master's degree at Princeton University in the classics. And in 1905, he takes a year to do theological studies in Germany, and has his faith challenged by Wilhelm Hermann, who was really the father of what we would know of as modernist theology. He was a Lutheran theologian. He had been influenced by Friedrich Schleiermacher, and apparently a very imposing figure. And this is a lesson for all of us. Dr. Machen was almost brought over to the liberal position, not because of what Hermann taught, because Hermann, for example, simply believed that God was the power of goodness, that Jesus was only an exemplary man, but he was a kind man, and he was a passionate man, and he spoke about faith, and he spoke about faith very warmly. And even though Dr. Machen knew that what Hermann's faith was in was not historic Christianity. He was taken by his character. And apparently he had seen a lot of coldness, a lot of formalism among those who held to the Reformed faith. And that almost won him over. But he did come back. 1906, he joins Princeton Seminary faculty as an instructor in New Testament. And he is befriended by Francis Lindley Patton and above all Benjamin Warfield, who was the great Presbyterian theologian of the late 19th and early 20th century. J. Gresham Machen regarded Benjamin Warfield as the greatest man he'd ever met. And Warfield, who loved doctrine and emphasized it and was very warm and passionate, that brought Dr. Machen to helped him in his battles, so to speak, with liberalism. He was ordained in 1914, called as an associate professor of New Testament studies at Princeton. Interestingly, he served in World War I. He was not in favor of the war. In fact, he was not a Woodrow Wilson fan, even though his family knew President Wilson. He served with the YMCA in World War I. He wanted to be of help to people, but some of his comments on the war, for those of you who have political interests, would be fascinating. Princeton years, 1918 to 1929. By 1918, Dr. Machen was known as probably the preeminent conservative New Testament scholar in the United States. And by then, there were the battles with modernism or liberalism over against evangelicalism, Dr. Machen representing the historic Christian evangelical view. His book, The Origin of Paul's Religion, that came out in 1921, blasted the idea proposed by liberals that Paul's religion was simply an outgrowth of Greek philosophy. And the liberal view, amazingly, is that Paul's religion, quote unquote, was entirely different than the religion of Jesus. And even today, Machen's Origin of Paul's Religion emphasizes that the roots of Paul's religion were certainly in the life, the person, and the work of Christ. Likewise, his volume, The Virgin Birth of Christ, What is Faith, that he wrote in 1925, very pastoral kind of volume about what faith is and our trust in the Lord is. Then, 1923, the book Christianity and Liberalism comes out, which we're featuring on this program, in which Dr. Machen had the audacity to say, rightly, liberalism, theological liberalism or modernism, is not a different brand of Christianity. Liberalism is the chief rival of Christianity, said Dr. Machen. He also said it is anti-intellectual. It is more of the expression of individual human experience than of doctrine, and basically said that it empties not only the Bible, but creeds and theology of all meaning. And this was putting gas into a fire. For him to say that views that were increasingly common, not only in Presbyterian churches, but in others, they were all the mainline denominations, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, they were all facing these challenges with modernism. And so Dr. Machen's book was the one that basically said, liberalism's not another branch of Christianity. It isn't Christianity at all, above all because it denies the supernatural. Now, that's what brought Machen into something of an exile. He was at odds with liberal Protestantism, including what would take over Princeton Seminary. By the late 1920s, there were moves to take that seminary that was conservative and have it brought more into line with liberal theology. And if you read David Calhoun's two volumes on the history of Princeton Seminary, second volume, you have your tissue box there when you see how those who are quite frankly illiberal took over that seminary that had had such a history of standing for orthodoxy. We'll come back to that a little bit later. At the same time, as we mentioned before, he was at odds with the fundamentalism and its very anti-intellectual attitude, a lot of it anyway, you know, just quote the Bible kind of thing. And so Dr. Machen, really till the end of his life, it was kind of an exile for him. Anyway, the battles. And Chris, there are three battles that actually form a template for the battles between those who held to the fundamentals of the faith and those who denied them, among many Baptist churches and Lutheran churches and so on. And here's the template. Number one was the quest to, even by those who held to orthodoxy, say that we really shouldn't make issues with those who don't hold to orthodoxy. 1924 and 1925, there was a decline in the relations among the faculty members at Princeton, brought up by the magazine The Presbyterian, that had an article that said, are there two different parties at Princeton? Machen wanted doctrinal precision and care for doctrinal precision. But Charles Erdman was the leader of those who was really tolerant of doctrinal error. And this is very interesting. He wrote in a letter to Dwight Moody, controversies don't win followers to Christ. And Erdman really wanted to emphasize evangelism and personal piety that put doctrinal distinctiveness on a shelf. That's one thing. It's called latitudinarianism in many ways. That's one thing. The second battle was an institutional one. 1922, there was an infamous sermon preached by really one of the greatest preachers of the early 20th century. He wasn't Orthodox, but Harry Emerson Fosdick. Harry Emerson Fosdick preached a sermon called Shall the Fundamentalists Win? And there, in his sermon, he noted doctrines like, and these were the fundamentals, the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth of Christ, and even to some extent, in some quarters, the deity of Christ, the substitutionary atonement, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the authenticity of Christ's miracles. Those were the five fundamentals of the faith that were kind of on the chopping block. Fosdick said, basically, if you want to hold these views as a fundamentalist, fine. But don't write off those of us who don't hold to these fundamentals. So there's where toleration of doctrinal error came in. Now remember, this is 1922. 1923 is the publication of Dr. Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism. 1924, the year later, there is a gathering in upstate New York, in Auburn, New York, in which this is stunning. 1,274 ministers of the Presbyterian Church USA say exactly what Harry Emerson Fosdick did. You can hold these fundamentals if you want, but don't write off those who don't hold to the fundamentals of the faith. Again, inerrancy of Scripture, virgin birth of Christ, substitutionary atonement, bodily resurrection, authenticity of Christ, miracles. And that shows you that the level of rot that was in the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, 1924, the year after Dr. Machen's Christianity and Liberalism came out. Well, what happened was, and this is where the sad, sad story comes. In 1929, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, what we call the mainline church, voted to reorganize Princeton Seminary requiring that two ministers who had signed the Auburn Affirmation be on the board of trustees for the seminary. And that marked the beginning of the end of the orthodoxy. That was Machen. Dr. Machen went so far as to say that Princeton Seminary died with that. That was 1929, and it was in September of 1929 that Westminster Seminary was formed, which was really to be the continuation of Princeton and its commitment to historic Reformed Orthodoxy. So you had, if I could put it this way, the mindset of toleration. That's one thing. The second is you had the academic side of this, where you had a development of a school, and later there would be others like this, that defended the fundamentals of the faith. But then I'll wrap up the Machen bio with this. The third is the church aspect. Dr. Machen, who had no desire to form a new school or a new church, what had happened in the Presbyterian Church USA, Dr. Machen in 1933 led the formation of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions. And here's the reason. The Presbyterian Church of the United States in America had issued a book called Rethinking Missions, and were promoting the works of Pearl Buck, who was a missionary. Well, Rethinking Missions denied the new birth, denied the inerrancy and inspiration of the scriptures, denied the miracles of Christ, basically denied historic Christianity. And this was the board, this was the mission board of the Presbyterian Church of the United States in America. And that's when in opposition, Dr. Machen led the formation of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions. That prompted the response from the General Assembly, the highest governing body of the Presbyterian Church USA, that basically said, you don't support the boards of the church, and it is schismatic. It's as if you don't even come to the Lord's Supper, a gross example of tyranny on the church level. 1930, Dr. Machen and others still refused to support the boards that were supporting liberalism. In 1935, Dr. Machen was defrocked in Presbyterian structure. A presbytery, a regional group of churches, ordains. He was part of the Brunswick, New Brunswick Presbytery in New Jersey, very liberal presbytery. They defrocked him. He appealed to the 1936 General Assembly, and the assembly denied the appeal, and basically said Dr. Machen and others could not be considered as ministers in the Presbyterian Church USA. They suspended them from the ministry. That prompted, on June 11th, 1936, the formation of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Machen is the first moderator. And do I have time to, I know you've got a commercial coming up. Is that coming up now, or do I have 2 minutes?
Yes, we actually have to go now, and then we'll pick up where you left off.
All right.
And please be patient with us, folks. It's the midway break, a little longer than the other breaks. I look forward to hearing from you and your questions when we return.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a Toy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And once again, I'm reminding you folks that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a crisis, for lack of a better term, in book sales. So I'm urging all of you to go to solid-ground-books.com today. And if you've never purchased from them before, please purchase for the first time. And if you're even a regular customer of theirs, please make your largest purchase that you've ever made, if you can afford to do so. Because keep in mind, solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. And apart from a miracle of God financially, I don't know how we would continue to exist without their financial help. And keep in mind something, that you're not only going to be doing yourself, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current modern day, including such present-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And I've got some recommendations for you for those who love J. Gresham Machen or who are loving being introduced to him for the first time during our discussion today. Solid-ground-books.com has in stock Things Unseen, A Systematic Introduction to the Christian Faith and Reformed Theology by J. Gresham Machen, with a foreword by Sinclair Ferguson and afterword by Richard Gaffin. They also have in stock J. Gresham Machen's commentary on the Book of Galatians and many other titles, numerous other titles that any lover of Reformed theology would be delighted to own and read. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Bill Shishko, and our discussion on J. Gresham Machen and our celebration of the 100th anniversary of his classic work, Christianity and Liberalism, I just have a couple of more announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address from your post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And you can mail your checks there, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please, folks, if you give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially, I want you to always remember that I never want anybody in our audience cutting into the finances that they have set aside for their Lord's Day giving to their own local church where they're a member in order to bless us financially. In other words, don't ever give your own church less money than you're accustomed to giving your own church in order to bless us with a check. Please do not do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you bless us with a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that the two primary ways we are supposed to use the funds with which he has blessed us are to provide for our church and family, and providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and don't want it to disappear and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support church and family, please consider us with the money that you have collecting interest in the bank, the extra money that you have for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like The Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches that are Christ-honoring, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So if you're without a theologically sound church home, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can submit a question to Pastor Bill Shishko on J. Gresham Machen, on his book, Christianity and Liberalism, or anything regarding the fundamentalist-modernist controversy or Christian theology in general. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Pastor Bill, right before the midway break, you were discussing or informing us about the tragic defrocking of J. Gresham Machen. And you said that's actually supposed to be pronounced Gresham.
Gresham.
I've got to try to remember that because I keep butchering his name.
I got to remember not calling him doctor because he wasn't a doctor.
And I've also heard people who should know better call him Machen. So I'm not sure. But anyway, so pick up where you left off about that.
Well, let me just – Dr. Machen's homegoing was January 1st, 1937, And it really kind of represents his life. He was in isolation in many ways. He was no longer a part of the Southern aristocratic Presbyterian culture that he was born into. And nor was he really an American fundamentalist, although he was the preeminent defender of the fundamentals of the faith. So more than one person has commented his death in Bismarck, North Dakota, on January 1st, 1937. He had had pleurisy. He had developed pneumonia. He was exhausted, and yet he continued to keep his speaking engagements out there and fell ill. His famous telegram to Professor Murray, John Murray from Westminster Seminary, "So thankful for the active obedience of Christ, no hope without it." And he'd said to the pastor who visited him there, an Orthodox Presbyterian minister, "Isn't the Reformed faith grand?" As he reflected on glory and what it was. So the end of his life was quite remarkable. I'm H.L. Mencken, who was an editor or writer for the Baltimore Evening Sun, a fellow Baltimorean with Dr. Machen. H.L. Mencken was no friend of Christianity, historic Christianity at all, but he had great respect for Dr. Machen. Even though he disagreed with him, he had great respect for Dr. Machen because he knew that Professor Machen held to what Presbyterians and Reformed people have always held to, and he mused over how it was that he was deposed by the very church body that he accurately represented. And H.L. Mencken was wonderful for pointing out all these glaring inconsistencies. But he wrote an obituary for Professor Machen, January 18th, 1937. And he said this: "Machen fell out with the reformers who have been," and he's saying this facetiously, "fell out with the reformers who have been trying in late years to convert the Presbyterian Church into a kind of literary and social club devoted vaguely to good works." Wow, Mencken got it. And that, quote, "though Machen lost in the end and was forced out of Princeton, it must be manifest that he marched off to Philadelphia with all the honors of war." Wow. And he also compared Machen to William Jennings Bryan, who was a fundamentalist leader, candidate for the presidency, and a Presbyterian. But he said Dr. Machen was to Bryan as the Matterhorn is to a wart. So he had no respect for Bryan. So again, H.L. Mencken didn't hold one whit to what J. Gresham Machen believed and taught. But he said, this man is representing what historically Presbyterian and Reformed people have held. Why was he booted out of the Presbyterian Church USA? So it's an interesting testimony to him. And I hope, Chris, this is just enough to whet people's appetites to read. Yeah, well, to read Christianity and Liberalism. Well, I know we've got what time we have left. I want to introduce it a bit, but I don't know. Have you gotten questions for people, or have I been blathering on so much they haven't said anything?
Oh yeah, I've continuing your to make mention the reasons that I very clearly remember the obituary by H.L. Mencken. J. Gresham is that, as you probably know, I of a video for our friend Jason Wallace of Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, another Orthodox Presbyterian, and he asked me to read in a voice that I invented sound like what I envisioned a crusty atheist journalist would sound like. And I read that magnificent obituary that Mencken wrote in honor of J. Gresham Machen. And it's mind-blowing. Someone who was an atheist would write such lofty and glowing things. This contemporary of his who is on the other side of the argument over the existence of God and the inerrancy and reliability and authenticity of the scriptures and everything else that's of most importance that Christianity stands for. And by the way, folks, if you want to listen to this, all you have to do is go to YouTube and YouTube.com and type in the search engine, The Unexpected Orthodoxy of Atheists, or you could just type in H.L. Mencken's Machen, and you probably don't even have to type in that many words, and that will come up. And I just want to go to our friend Jason Wallace. If you want to find out more about his documentaries, with which both Bill Shishko have done a number of voiceovers for these documentaries, go to gospelutah.org. But sorry for that. I just thought that would make sense to plug for bringing that very issue up. Now, do you need to go to some of our listener questions, or do you want to continue on for a little bit on your thread?
Yeah, I want to whet people's appetite. I'm interested in the questions, and I can do this kind of briefly, I think. The next program that we have on November 29th, I want to get into the chapters in Christianity and Liberalism where Dr. Machen deals with doctrine and specific doctrines. But in rereading Dr. I want to call him Dr. He's so brilliant. Dr. Machen's his introduction to his book, this is really remarkable, and this is a wow chapter in his introduction. I just want to whet people's appetites, not only for the book, but the introduction itself, which is prophetic, small p. Dr. Machen writing in 1923, Chris, you read this, and it seems like he wrote it just a few years ago. Just a few highlights. The last one is the one I want to emphasize, though. He emphasizes right from the beginning doctrinal precision, which is really what Christianity and liberalism is about, the importance of doctrinal precision. Why do I say that? It's mind-boggling that professed Christians in our day who have so many resources to understand historic Orthodox Christianity will still think that what Joel Osteen is pumping out every week is somehow Christianity. I'm not questioning the hearts of the people who say this, but it's a statement about latitudinarianism. I mean, this is not a matter of kind of pushing the boundaries of Christianity. This is something that is not Christianity that's being pushed mm-hmm. as Christianity. So Dr. Machen's emphasis on doctrinal precision is so pertinent to today. That dogged commitment that he has to doctrine, and yet at the same time being gracious in dealing with those with whom he disagreed. We've not always been as strong on that as we ought to have. Second thing in the introduction, I'd mentioned it before, his opposition to the application of quote-unquote modern scientific methods, what he called the modern lust of scientific conquest and materialism. The scientific method assumes that there's nothing beyond what you can put in a test tube, and applying that model to the Christian faith. It does away with all of the supernatural. Again, virgins don't have babies, right? And so that kind of a thing, it not only undermines those things, but it ends up doing away with historic Christianity. If I could use a formal word that's very important, Dr. Machen held to the antithesis, the exact opposite, between Christianity and all other religions. We're not like that in our world today. People will more and more and more think, how can we take modern cultural views and adapt them to the scriptures? The quest today to say that because people deal with quote-unquote gender dysphoria, therefore that ought to be acceptable, that living a lifestyle contrary to your gender should be acceptable because that people are made this way. People are made with these kinds of sexual proclivities, and we can't change them. That's an example of how the scientific materialistic worldview is in so many ways gobbling up evangelicalism. But this is number two. Number three is, all this is in the introduction. Dr. Machen saw this in 1923, the decline in culture because of the triumph of the scientific and the materialistic over the spiritual realm, the realm of the holy. Now, Francis Schaeffer would pick up on this as he dealt with culture in the latter part of the 20th century. But Dr. Machen noticed the emptiness of so much modern literature in the 1920s, so much artwork that became bizarre, and music that was becoming bizarre. Well, if that's the case in 1923, because of a materialistic worldview, my, how much worse are things now 100 years later? But when you, and he scored in this, how education had become more committed to what he called utilitarianism. How you get the greatest good for the greatest number of people rather than really exploring the world. 1923, what do we have today? Common Core Curriculum, which has, I guess, is the commendable goal, having certain standards that by which all students have certain kinds of education. But what's happened is that's desiccated education. Education becomes just preparing young people for tests. And Dr. Machen saw this as destroying personality. He was a strong believer in education. It had a lot of different ways you could do it. And then he also spoke in that introduction about how education was becoming basically prey to the state. The state, this is 1923 now, was beginning to dictate to the schools the different political views that ought to be taught, with nothing else being acceptable. Hello, what do we have today with an imposition of woke culture in public schools? Teachers and the educational establishment, in many cases, telling parents, we're the ones who should be determining what your children get. Dr. Machen saw that. And that's another reason why that introduction is so important. And the last one, and here's where I want to quote from Dr. Machen, in what is really a chilling section, a prophetic section about education, in the foreword to the book, Dr. Machen says, the object of education, it is now assumed, 1923, is the production of the greatest happiness for the greatest number, but the greatest happiness for the greatest number, it is assumed further, can be defined only by the will of the majority. Idiosyncrasies in education, for example, I would say in our day, Christian education. In idiosyncrasies in education, therefore, it is said, must be avoided, and the choice of schools must be taken away from the individual person and placed in the hands of the state. Chris, this is 1923 that Machen wrote this. And as a reaction to this, there was the proliferation of Christian schools, in many cases led by fundamentalists, which we can appreciate. But today, when I think for a while, there was a pushback against this. I mean, there was a move in 1920s in New York State to disallow people from having their children schooled in anything other than a public school. Now, there was pushback wow. on that. But you're seeing today in various ways how the state is taking over. So, again, I really want the introduction alone shows you how important the book is.
Great. Well, let me go to at least a couple of our listener questions for now. We have Tristan in Manhasset Hills, Long Island, New York. And Tristan asks, can you tell us something about the rift between two Presbyterian fundamentalists in the earlier part of the 20th century? And those would be J. Gresham Machen and Carl McIntyre.
Well, that's a great question from Tristan. Well, the rift, yeah, what Tristan is talking about, Dr. Machen had led the formation of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions. That became the lightning rod in the Presbyterian Church USA because ministers who were supporting that were not supporting the boards of the church, and frankly, they were hurting financially. Sadly, so many issues in church life over dollars. Anyway, Dr. McIntyre was a leader of the fundamentalists among the Presbyterians. He was actually part of the formation of what we would know of as the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, although later there would be a cleavage with what is now the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and Carl McIntyre would become the leader of what was called the Bible Presbyterian Church. But I think what Tristan's referring to is there was a power push within the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, and Carl McIntyre became the head of that organization. Dr. Machen was basically moved out of his position there, and I'm not familiar with all the ins and outs of that, but that was devastating for Dr. Machen. Many believe that that did cause a decline in his health. But there was that conflict, and later Carl McIntyre would become a leader of the fundamentalist Presbyterians who did hold to a dispensational or a premillennial view. That's an interesting story. It's one of the reasons Francis Schaeffer was part of the Bible Presbyterian Church early on in his time in the ministry. But it was as he saw the rancor and the rancor and almost the animosity that Dr. McIntyre and some of his followers had toward other believers in Christ. That's what prompted Francis Schaeffer to leave that camp. And he would eventually become part of what was called the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod. So that's one of the sadder episodes in Presbyterian history in the 20th century. But I go back to the fact, and John Piper is excellent dealing with this. See, Dr. Machen had seen a rancor and a I don't want to say hatred, but a lack of warmth and care that sadly many Reformed people had. And when he saw among the liberals in Germany a warmth, a kindness, it was attractive to him. Now, thankfully, under the influence of Benjamin Warfield, he realized that solid doctrine must come first. But it's a cautionary tale. We've got to be sure that even in dealing with those we differ with, we are being gracious.
Okay, thank you, Tristan. And make sure that you provide for us your full mailing address in Manhasset Hills, Long Island, New York, because you have just won a free copy of Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen. And that is compliments of Reformation Trust, which is the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries. And we want to thank Ligonier Ministries for their generosity in providing us with a limited number of books, copies of this classic by J. Gresham Machen. And thank you for joining us. And let us know, by the way, if you are a first-time questioner, because if so, you have also won a free new American Standard Bible. And by the way, these will be shipped to you by Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And we want to thank them for always shipping out the books and Bibles that our listeners win with no charge being, no cost being charged to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio or our listeners. Thank you so much, cvbbs.com. We have Grady, a very loyal listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. Was the battle that J. Gresham Machen fought the same battle that Charles Haddon Spurgeon fought in the downgrade controversy at the end of his life? And perhaps you could even define that in a summary form, Pastor Bill.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question from the brother. I'd have to go back and refresh myself on the downgrade controversy. I've read about it in Ian Murray's volume. Downgrade controversy focused, if I'm correct, on the inspiration of the scriptures. Is the Bible the word of God? The downgrade controversy was a waning of that. But, and again, I'm going on a limb on this. My guess is that probably Spurgeon was dealing with the seeds of the same thing that Dr. Machen was, because the liberalism or modernism that Dr. Machen dealt with really was developing in 19th century Germany about the time of the end of Spurgeon's life. So I would go out on a limb and say, yeah, I think that there probably were some similarities, but regardless, in biographies, read about Spurgeon's battle in the downgrade controversy, because it does deal with the final authority of Holy Scripture and church life and is very relevant to today.
Well, we have to go to our final break, and we'll try to get to as many listener questions as we can, but there's always part two on Wednesday, the 29th of November, where we can read some of those questions if we run out of time today. But we'll be right back with Pastor Bill Shishko with the remainder of today's discussion during part one of our celebration of the 100th anniversary of Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade.
Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reform Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I also want to remind our listeners, you've been hearing the ads every day for years for Historical Bible Society. Please remember that that fine organization was founded by and is served by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call Dan at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Always mention that you heard about Buttafuoco and Associates from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Pastor Bill, before I go to any more listener questions, I really want to make sure that what you most wanted be etched in the hearts and minds of the listeners today is said for the remainder of part one, and then we can move on, if we have time, to other listener questions. And don't be too upset, folks, if we don't get to your question, because there's always Wednesday, the 29th of November, when we are going to be conducting part two of the same topic. But Pastor Bill, if you could.
Yeah, I think I really want people to get J. Gresham Machen's Christianity and Liberalism, 100th Anniversary Edition. Kevin DeYoung has an interesting foreword to the book. But read it, keeping in mind what we covered for the background, what Dr. Machen was writing against. And I think, what do I want to leave for this? Read his introductions, about 16 pages, and just be bowled over by how prophetic, small p, Dr. Machen was, as he wrote in 1923.
Okay, well, I guess I have time to go to a couple more listener questions. Let's see. We have Ted in Moundville, Alabama, and it's a long question, so I'm going to have to abbreviate it. I do realize it has become something of a cliche when assessing the life and work of a long-gone public figure, but I can't help but wonder what Machen would have thought of the state of evangelical belief and practice in the 21st century. Any thoughts from Pastor Shishko on that question? And what would 21st century evangelicalism have made of J. Gresham Machen if he were a contemporary figure?
My response is put in your calendars November 29th, 2003, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m., and that's exactly what we're going to be dealing with. I've been burdened for many years to think of how Dr. Machen's volume can be applied to modern evangelicalism. And I don't want to be superficial with it, but there are a lot of applications you can make. What would evangelicals think of Dr. Machen today? I think the same way Charles Erdman at Princeton Seminary regarded Dr. Machen as too much of a stickler when it came to doctrine. I think that is the way modern evangelicalism would think of Dr. Machen today.
Okay, and Ted, make sure we have your full mailing address in Moundville, Alabama, because you have also won a free copy of Christianity and Liberalism, the book we are celebrating today. And I think I forgot to tell that to Grady, too, in Asheboro, North Carolina. You've also won a free copy, as has everyone who has submitted a question. Prudence in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, asks, can you tell us who some of J. Gresham Machen's heroes were?
Prudence in West Sayville, there's a wonderful old-time radio museum there.
In Old Saybrook, Connecticut?
Yeah, it's in that area. I think it's in that area. The influences, Benjamin Warfield, number one, number two, and number three are Benjamin Warfield. He was quite taken by him because of his emphasis on doctrine, his godliness, and so on. So when you read Benjamin Warfield, you'll get the background to Dr. Machen. He was also quite taken. Well, I'll leave it like that. I think that would really be the main one.
Okay. We have Fulton in Cutchogue, Long Island, New York. And Fulton asks, how do you counsel brothers and sisters in Christ how to react when they discover that some of our great heroes, even of the Reformed faith, had not so biblical ideas of race relations and things like that? And there is the temptation and even the command of many in our modern age to totally dismiss to the wastebasket of history some of these great minds that did have serious flaws in their understanding of over those things and other matters.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think using the argument of some for today, then we better get rid of all the biblical characters other than Christ, because they all had their flaws, whether it would be Noah, whether it would be David, whether it would be the prophets. The fact of the matter is we're dealing with people that are fallen people, and we need to be honest about that. The only perfect one is Christ. And there are cultural sins coming from a Cretan background to it. When Paul says the Cretans are all liars and slow bellies, they're liars and lazy. I hope that's not true of me. That's a cultural sin that Paul deals with. And there's cultural sins that need to be dealt with. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which our culture, sadly, in such a foolish way does.
Well, Pastor Bill, it has been such a joy to have you on the program today, as it always is. And I am eagerly looking forward to part two of our discussion. And I want to remind our listeners that Pastor Bill is the pastor of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Commack, Long Island, New York. And the website for that fine congregation is thehavenli.org, correct?
That's it.
Thehavenli.org. And I urge you to please, if you live in that area or are visiting that area, to visit that congregation on the Lord's Day. I was just so blessed the last time I was there, which was actually my first time there. I had visited the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, where Pastor Bill used to pastor many times, but this was the first time I had ever visited the Haven, and I just loved every moment of it. I loved the unique way that you incorporate a worship service that would be liturgical without in any way, shape, or form being dry or robotic. It was just full of life and passion. And it was, and of course, it was great to not only hear you exegete the scriptures, but to see old friends of mine, that some of whom I hadn't seen in decades. And I look forward to a return visit there sometime, hopefully in the near future.
Amen. Looking forward to seeing you.
And folks, please tune in tomorrow, because we have a very timely guest tomorrow, Baruch Mose, who is not only a native Israeli, but he is a Reformed Baptist, and he's going to be giving his views on the current crisis in Israel due to the battle going on between the Israeli army and Hamas. But I hope that you listen tomorrow to Baruch Mose. And I want to thank all of you who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Amen.